Welcome to Dividing Line, a show designed to show the believer and the non-believer alike that everything we say or do is ultimately judged by God's Word. And now hosting Dividing Line, Bill and Ruth.
Well, this is Bill Darr, Dividing Line. I think we'll have a very, very interesting program for you today. Let's get right into it. My guest today is Reverend Flip Benham. Since 1994, Reverend Benham has served as National Director of Operation Rescue, Operation Save America. As a graduate of Asbury Theological Seminary, Flip had prepared for the pastorate. And he was serving as pastor of a young church in the Dallas area when he was faced with the reality of abortion. With this knowledge, the question for this pastor was, what will be my response? Well, today my guest and I will discuss that moment of truth, that moment when integrity demands a response. And we will discuss where Reverend Benham finds himself approximately 25 years later. Then, very importantly, we will discuss the upcoming OSA national event in Charlotte, North Carolina. Flip, welcome to Dividing Line.
It's great to be with you, Bill. Give my very best to Miss Ruth.
Well, we will definitely do that, and ours to Faye and all your family, who I always love to see. Well, brother, we're going to give a little background on yourself and your involvement of now about 25 years of involvement in, or maybe even more, in pro-life and telling the girls that there's a better way and let's stop this abortion thing. But my question right off is, how did you go from, let's say, being on the sideline to becoming active?
Number one, it began as I became a Christian. I mean, all of a sudden I realized I'd always been active in the devil's causes.
Yes.
Always been marching against the war and doing all sorts of things. And when God saved me and rescued me, he just immediately changed my vision. In other words, I could see things that I hadn't seen before. I understood things that I had never really thought of before, and as he changed me, I began to realize that I needed to live out these truths. And of course, that divides people. When you speak the truth, the dividing line,
mm-hmm.
where you come to meet Jesus, and then he calls you to live this out, to become, so to speak, a living parable of God's love for this world, of God's love for little baby boys and girls waiting to be born. And so I've been following him hard because I've been born again. But what happened to me in a pro-life movement is I simply read a scripture passage in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. It's called the kenosis passage. The word kenao in Greek means knowing, to know, to empty, and emptying. And it was simply posed to me this way by a great theologian named Bill Gothard, and he said, at what point in time did the Word of God become flesh? At what point in time did the theology of heaven become biography on this earth? And instantly I knew, and this was after I'd been a Christian and been through seminary, instantly I knew that he was here at conception when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. I mean, that's when all of God was here at that time, fully 9 months before we meet him and come to know him as Emmanuel. God is with us in Bethlehem. Now I realize that means that little children are children at conception, at the beginning, when the sperm meets the egg, all of the chromosomal pairs are there. How tall he or she is going to be is determined. What color eyes, what kind of personality that little child is going to have is already determined. And of course, as I understood that through the scripture, that a child is a child no matter how small, you know, what we learned from Dr. Seuss, but what we learned a long time before in the Bible, then that child was a living image of God,
yes,
to be protected under the color of law and protected by the Church of Jesus Christ. And I had realized that I had failed completely. And then I became, not only did I become abortion-minded theologically, that abortion was the ending of the life of a little child, but I also became abortion-minded as I, in practice, in my pragmatics, in living out the theology, in the praxis of what I was doing. And so in 1982, that revelation came to be. In 1984, we started a crisis pregnancy center. In 1988, I got involved with Operation Rescue, where I found myself lying down in front of an abortion mill door and arrested. And from that point on, we've simply been living the theology of heaven out in the streets, allowing the theology of heaven to become biography in the streets.
Well, that is so interesting. Let me ask you this. Okay, it's one thing you became convicted by the scripture, and you as a man, a father, a husband, and also as a pastor. But then how did you begin to convince your church that was the way to go and that they should become involved?
Well, simply through, really, through the preaching of the Word of God. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As I began to open up this Word, as it was opened up to me, and began to share these things, then it became pretty incontrovertible that we are not, if we are going to say that we are pro-life, then that means something. And that somehow that's got to have an outworking in our faith and in our walk. And we realized that we had to do something. I mean, if children are being murdered, you have to do something about it. Well, then the question became, what do we do? That's when we started the Crisis Pregnancy Center. We actually set up what we called sheltering homes so that mothers could have a place to stay if they were, you know, if they got thrown out of the house by the big bully boyfriend that they were living with. And so we got involved in all of those things. And then we saw the most beautiful expression of God's love for little baby boys and girls when we watched the Democratic National Convention in Atlanta, Georgia, in the summer of 1988. And there we saw people lying down in front of abortion mills. These were Christians lying down in front of abortion mill doors, giving up their freedom that little baby boys and girls might live. When I saw that, I said, that's my theology. And now it needs to become biography, just like these people.
Yeah.
So we began on October 28th of 1988, and we went down to the abortion mill at 2940 and Fairfield Street in Dallas, Texas,
yes,
and with about 800 or 900 other fellow Christians, many of them singing all of the gospel hymns and praying for us, and 24 of us were arrested. That day, in a National Day of Rescue, and that took place in several cities, I don't know how many, across the nation. And we began to believe that if abortion is murder, we, the Church of Jesus Christ, far before anyone else, should begin to act like it.
Yes.
And so we did.
Well, it's so interesting. Then let's move along then to 1994. Obviously, you were well into your involvement in pro-life work. And at that time, you became the national director of Operation Rescue / Operation Save America. And believe it or not, you still hold that title to this day. Well, I tell you, I've always been impressed with longevity and tenacity. But, brother, you have held in there. Question. Why did you take that responsibility at that time? Why do you continue to serve in that position today?
Well, that's very important. I'm glad you asked that because I have always believed and taught my boys and my children and grandchildren that that a man must be faithful in little before he's faithful in much. And,
yes,
and I have been very faithful in the little things. I had learned that through some hard and difficult experience, that we have to prove ourselves faithful in the little things, faithful in taking care of the lambs that God has assigned to us, taking care of our families, faithful in the things that God has given to us. And then he takes care of the rest, like he found David where? Tending the sheep. What was David doing with the sheep? He was simply laying his life down that they might live. In other words, he fought the lion and the bear. And those lions and bears were coming after the sheep, not after David. But David loved those lambs so much that he risked his own life to save them.
Yes.
And so we begin to realize that he who is faithful in little will be faithful much. I had been faithful, and I studied my word, and I had been as faithful with the things that God had given me. They weren't big things; they were little things. So when all of a sudden it came upon me for whatever reason, and I was asked by Keith Tusey to take his place, to replace him on the national level to be leader of Operation Rescue, I was totally stunned. I was shocked. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't know any of the national leaders. I was simply faithful with the folks down in Dallas, Texas. And yet I knew that God had raised me up for a time such as this because I'd written an article about why we don't shoot abortionists and blow up abortion mills. It was at that time in 1993 when everyone was beginning to talk about the fact of should we or should we not shoot abortionists. And I wrote that small little article saying that we are called to lay our lives down that others might live.
Yes.
And this it was at this time that Michael Griffin shot and killed Dr. David Gunn, the abortionist Gunn.
Yes.
And folks began to talk about this thing, and so I was able to present the truth that I knew that Jesus didn't come to save us with a dagger between his teeth and a Molotov cocktail, and in his own hand he came to save us by laying his life down that we might live. And it was that, I think it was that stance on that I was theologically prepared to fight that battle, that God really helped me and put me in that position. And I knew that it was all right, that God would help me all the way through. And you know what, Bill? He has.
Yeah. Well, there's no question about that. Flip, I got to just tell you quickly, I think you know this, but my youngest son, Derek, and I, met you just very briefly. I had already met Rusty Thomas, but this would have been in the summer of either 1992 or 1993 in Dallas. And I believe at that time you were leading the, let's say, the Dallas chapter of Operation Rescue.
Right.
And but I can say this to everybody. Brother, you have been faithful over the years, and that's the way I was brought up. I mean, anybody can do a job for a short period of time. Will you hang in there and do it just because it's right, and just do it in effect till Jesus comes? And that's what you've done, and I certainly have an awful lot of respect for that. Well, we're in this segment, we've only got about a minute and a half here. I do want to throw out one or two things, though. You wrote, by the way, folks, Flip Benham has written, and I believe these are available, Flip, under Operation Save America, these various brochures you've written. But one you wrote was, Does God Still Judge the Nations? And you listed, I believe it was 29 points, and it's so interesting. Obviously, we don't have time to really spend much time on that. But your point was, and I think what you were saying is, well, certainly he does. He would not be consistent. He would not be God if he didn't judge. And I think the things that we lament about, whether it's abortion, whether it's homosexuality, whatever it might be, again, you list 29 points, and at least I would equate it to cause and effect. And you might just comment on that for about the next 30, 45 seconds, and then we'll get into our second part here in a minute.
I'd be happy to. You know, this is just, you know, something that Christians need to think through. Is, you know, so many have asked, does God judge the nation? Will God judge us? He already is judging
sure.
us. We're under his remedial judgments, and his judgments are meant to lead us to repentance, not to destroy us. I mean, thank God for the judgments. Thank God for the things. I thank God that he exposes my sin. Why? So that I can repent of it. That's what light does. When light comes into the world, it exposes sin. God's judgments bring light where we can make an assessment upon ourselves. And listen, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God promises, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. We need God to heal our land. His judgments have come to bring us to that point of repentance.
Oh, that is so true. He does it because he loves us, doesn't he? Boy, we have got that so manipulated and turned around and what have you. Well, you probably hear the music there. Folks, we're going to take about a minute and a half, 2 minute break. And then we'll be back. My guest for the first part and continuing for the last part of the program, Reverend Flip Benham, National Director of Operation Save America.
Do you need to promote your business on the internet? The Truth in Focus Radio Network reaches listeners locally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all across the United States. The shift is on from traditional media to internet marketing. Stay on the cutting edge with your business. Advertise with us today. Email radio@truthinfocus.org. You heard the word, so will they. Email us at radio@truthinfocus.org.
Canyon State Wireless is your hands-on source for design, sales, service, and installation of the best land mobile two-way radio systems. Check us out on the web at canyonstatewireless.com or call us for specific information at 866-458-4772, 866-458-4772. Canyon State Wireless. When you're serious about communication.
Okay, we're back. Bill Dar with Dividing Line. Well, we just talked briefly, and I'm going to kind of leave it at that, about Flip Benham puts together so many wonderful brochures, and they are available under Operation Save America's website, along with an awful lot of other good information. I would encourage you to check that out. And we were had just addressed very, very briefly, does God still judge the nation? And I think what Reverend Benham was saying is, of course he does, because he loves us and he cares for us and he wants us to repent. And that's what we need to remember. And that's true whether it's our Heavenly Father. Each of us as fathers should remember that principle, and that's the answer, if you will, for life. I want to transition a little bit to something very, very current coming up. On beginning July the 21st and continuing through the 28th of this year, 2012, Operation Save America will hold a national event in Charlotte, North Carolina. My question, Flip, is why Charlotte and why now?
It's a great question, and the reason why Charlotte was we found out that the Democratic National Convention is coming to the city of Charlotte, the DNC.
Oh, boy.
That group that hates everything that God does, opposes everything that God does and stands for, and we are called to present a living rebuke to that. Now, the Democratic National Convention comes and will be here in the city of Charlotte on September 3rd, 4th, and 5th. The unfortunate thing about them being here at that time is that hotel rooms, the price of hotel rooms rises exponentially. When I say exponentially, the hotel room that we're going to be staying at here in July 21st through 28th at our national event the price of that hotel room is $35 a night. The price of that hotel room on September 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and the week before and the week after, is going to be $299 a night.
Wow.
It's just absolutely, the reason that we're having it at that time, is even though it's the month before, is it will really help prepare the way for the Democratic National Convention. And North Carolina has done a great job already. We have defeated the homosexual version of the same-sex marriage idea.
Yeah,
by
I saw
making
that.
An amendment saying that we believe that in North Carolina, the marriage is between a man and a woman. They never expected that defeat. They got that defeat. Our governor, Bev Perdue, is now resigning her position. She's going to be replaced by a Republican. And Barack Obama won the state of North Carolina by, I think, 4 percentage points the last time he ran. This time, it appears, he's going to lose the state of North Carolina. We want to make sure that he does.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that I certainly would be in agreement with that. Let me ask you this. I think what most people know about pro-life work and probably even Operation Save America is maybe some report they've seen on CNN News or something like that. Let's just say the understatement of the decade would be they're not very objective, okay?
Well, they certainly aren't objective. When you see the people screaming and jumping up and down, ordinarily, those are the people that are not us.
Yeah.
They are the people that are the pro-aborts that stand opposed to us, that get right in our faces
yeah.
when we're out there offering a mom a choice, you know, that God can take, young lady, what you believe to be a curse and turn it into a wonderful little blessing. All he needs is a little bit of your time and then trust in him.
Yes.
And so many mothers have given lives to their babies since we have been out there. Look, in the past, since October 28th of 2008, we've had 1,450 babies that have been saved that we know of. We know there are a lot more than that, but we know of these babies. That's a lot of moms changing their mind because we are out at these abortion mills giving moms a real choice. We have doctors that will help them to bring that baby to term, places for them to stay. We have a lady that throws showers for the moms. We have so many beautiful pictures of the babies that are living now. Some of them are young adults.
Yes.
I mean, it's incredible what God is doing when the church will simply go out and stand in the gap on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves. And that's what we do in Operation Save America, is we just help the church. We're the wheels that brings the Church of Jesus Christ right to the gates of hell. And Bill, we know that the gates of hell cannot prevail against God's church. They never have, and they never will.
Well, there's no question about that, and it's just incredible. Well, I do want to ask the question. I mean, it's obvious, and that's one thing I love about it, is all kinds of people can come. But I want to ask you, so you can explain it maybe a little better, you know, who should come to this event? I think people, again, that haven't been there and have only learned somebody's opinion or some report, as you say, some pro-aborts hollering and screaming. It's the most godly time, in my opinion. In fact, I got to say this, that I think of it as I did as a kid when I gave my heart to Christ at a revival meeting. At the age of five, and that is the wonderful feeling I get, and I'm not supposed to be telling the stories. That's your job. But so who should come? Is there anybody that should not come?
You already answered the question.
I know.
We come as families,
yeah.
Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, little boys and little girls, and that's the great thing. And we have families that have grown in relationships with other families, and this is a great meeting time for us.
Yeah.
So everyone is invited, everyone. And then we just simply go out and we praise and we worship the Lord. This year, we'll do something a little different in that we're going to go up to Haw River Valley. It's about an hour and a half from here, which is a place where Stericycle is. Stericycle is a corporation that takes up medical waste. And what we have found out is that 20 states use Haw River City as a dumping ground for the babies that are aborted. I mean, they're burning the bodies of little baby boys and girls right there. So we're going to go and confront the Corporation Stericycle. We'll be joining with Repent America and several other groups, and we're all going to go up to Haw River Valley. Now, Haw River, most of the people there in Haw River don't have any idea what Stericycle is doing. It's just a big employment place.
Yeah.
But they're going to find out this summer as we go out and expose the truth about that. Plus the fact we'll be out at the abortion mills, around the city.
Sure.
We'll be at the mosques delivering the gospel of Christ. We're just Christianity that allows God to show up and show off.
Amen. Amen. And he will do that.
Amen.
Well, I know you've heard this, brother, but how do you respond to the comment, quote, I'm pro-life, but I don't like the methods?
And that's, that's really true.
Yeah.
We love God, but we don't like their method. I think we heard that in Jesus' time.
So
the Pharisees, when they nailed him to a cross, felt that they were doing God a favor.
Oh, boy.
And it's really true. It's just your methods are messed up. They do it with personhood. When we when we try to unsheath the word of God like we did in the state of Oklahoma, and you and Ruth were involved in that, we found that even some of our brothers and sisters came against us and said, we don't like your methods. Well, then our question is simply this. Then what is your method? Let's sit down. We'll hear you out, and then let's go and do what you're doing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, nobody, but nobody, is going out to these abortion mills where the children are actually being killed. They say, well, a woman's already made up her mind. I have news for you. So many of those mothers are just looking for someone to open up a window and give them a reason
Amen.
To do what's right.
Yes, sir.
Show them that there is an opportunity and there'll be people standing by your side to help you. But they see it's ugly out there. See, it's where you get dirty. I'm glad I serve a dirty Savior. And what I mean by that is that he's totally clean, not sinless completely. But he got dirty. He got down in the mud and the blood and the mess and the vileness of my sin to save me.
Amen.
He came to this world, and he did get dirty, and he got so bloodied and beat up. Now, maybe a lot of people thought, well, bad form, Jesus. That's not the way you save people, but that's the only way that God could save us, because sin is so heinous and terrible that it costs the life of his very own son, his only son, his one and only son. And so it's up to us to get dirty, to make ourselves of no reputation as Jesus did, to despise the shame and endure the cross. In other words, pick up that cross and follow Jesus. That's what we're called to do in this country, and we can do it, each and every Christian. You don't have to wait for the president or to elect the right president. You don't have to wait for the Congress or to elect the right congressman. You don't have to wait to pack the Supreme Court. We ourselves can go out into the streets and make a difference with one little baby boy or girl that would choose life. Listen, even if the mother doesn't choose life, we were there. And there was an opportunity for her to hear the word of God. That is our method, allowing the theology of heaven to become biography in the streets. We're not ashamed of that.
So true. So true. Well, that was going to be my next question. You've gotten into it. I'm amazed that people say, well, that's great, that's your thing, but I'm about evangelism. Well, can you find a place that they need evangelism more than an awful killing center?
No, you can't. It is the biggest missionary ground for us. You know, some people believe, all right, I want to be a missionary. I'm going to evangelize the world. God so loved the world, and all of those things are true. We're supposed to do that. We use the Great Commission. But there's a greater commission, and the greater commission is simply this. You love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and your neighbor is yourself, that our neighbor is being dragged away to the slaughter. And the question is, do we love them enough to do something about it?
Yeah.
Or are we going to be like the church in Nazi Germany and sit back and sing a little louder all of our praise and worship music while they're dragging our Jewish brothers and sisters off to a concentration camp to kill them? You know, that's a crime.
Yeah.
If Nazism showed us anything, it was the weakness and the swishiness of the Church of Jesus Christ, that right in the heart of the Great Reformation, Germany, an enemy like Adolf Hitler could arise and then not be contended with.
Yeah.
The Church just, she bowed and then she saluted and said, Heil Hitler, to the Church.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they failed.
Well, Flip, unfortunately, time flies. We are about to run out of time, brother. Thank you so much for this time. Folks, I encourage you again, July 21st through 28th, 2012, Operation Save America National Event, Charlotte, North Carolina. Go online. You'll find the hotel, all the information. You must be there. You must be there. If you seek revival, come to Charlotte. If you seek to meet the most interesting sold out for Jesus individual families, come to Charlotte. If you seek to win souls, come to Charlotte. Be a light rather than curse in the darkness. Bill Darr for Flip Benham, National Director of Operation Save America.